All right, if you will turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Let me just read to you the first four verses of 2 Samuel chapter 1. It says, "Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, it happened that a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to him, 'Where have you come from?' So he said to him, 'I have escaped from the camp of Israel.' Then David said to him, 'How did the matter go? Please tell me.' And he answered, 'The people have fled from the battle. Many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also.'" Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for just the account that we have here. And Lord, as we do a little review and see what's going on here, I pray, Lord, that as we observe David's reaction to this news, that it would be something, Lord, that we could learn from. Pray, Lord, we do thank you as we've sung this morning so many songs about your salvation, how great you are, how amazing you are. And Lord, as we observe David, we can learn how to glorify you in return with our lives. Do pray your blessing upon our time in your word this morning. May it be glorifying to you and beneficial to us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Beginning 2 Samuel, the first four chapters of this book, of course, we've been working our way through lessons in the life of David, looked at a good portion of 1 Samuel, coming to 2 Samuel. And the first four chapters, we just read the first four verses here, but the first four chapters of this this book of 2 Samuel, a lot takes place. It covers about 2 years of time, but in that 2 years, it begins with what I just read here, really the death of King Saul and actually three of his sons. That is where we ended 2 weeks ago. That is where we begin this morning. But then it contains, these first four chapters, contains the story of a deceitful messenger. Contains the story of the appointing of two kings, a duel between two armies, a foot race, a one-sided battle, a civil war, the beginning of a dysfunctional family, a commander that defects to the enemy, a prideful plot, a murder of revenge, a weak leader, the assassination of a king, and the execution of two criminals. And that's just the bad things that take place in the first four chapters. But in the midst of all of that, and while making a few mistakes of his own, David displays a number of godly characteristics, some godly qualities. And one of them, we're going to look at one of them this morning. It's going to be our focus, and it's the quality of giving honor. The quality of giving honor. We're going to see David do just that this morning. Back in March of 1990, Jim Lahr, who was paralyzed from his waist down, sat in his wheelchair on a day in that March. Actually, it was, don't have the exact day, but March of 1990. And he received a Bronze Star for a heroic act that he did 20 years earlier in Vietnam. In fact, it was on March 21st of 1969, about 21 years earlier, a U.S. Marine patrol in Vietnam descended a steep bank just to a stream to fill up their canteens with some water. And as they stooped in that shallow water, the area suddenly exploded with gunfire and grenades. Several of these Marines were hit. But according to an official report, one soldier, with complete disregard for his own safety, assisted several of his comrades, these Marines. Despite heavy fire, he made several trips back and forth to this watering hole, retrieving his fellow soldiers, until he himself was so incapacitated that he was unable to continue. That was Jim Lahr, who is now paralyzed from the waist down. 21 years later, one of the men who had been pulled out of the water by him learned, first of all, that he was still alive and that he had never been recognized for what he had done. So he made sure that he was. And with a heart full of appreciation, he watched that day 21 years later as Jim received that bronze star. What was not known at the time was that as Jim Lahr went to rescue his buddies, he only had 16 days left in his tour of duty. He was just about home free, but he put his own life, put the lives of his comrades before his own life. He put his own life on the line and became paralyzed in the process. But now, finally being honored for it. Giving honor is a godly quality. And in the first chapter and a half of 2 Samuel here, David displays that quality of honor. Honor is mentioned hundreds of times in the scripture in a number of different ways. We are to honor the Lord. We are to honor His wisdom. We are to honor His word. We are to honor our parents. We are to honor our spouse. We are to honor one another. We are to honor our master. We are even supposed to honor our leaders, our political leaders. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king." Well, David honored his king his entire life, in spite of his king's evil against him. If you've been with us through this story, you know that King Saul, in a jealous rage, has been trying to kill David for quite some time. And one might think that as soon as Saul died, as soon as David learned that Saul was dead, that he might actually be thankful, thinking, well, all right, good riddance to you. It's about time. But that's not how David reacted. Rather, David continued to honor King Saul even after he learned of his death. And so that we may honor others, and I'm even going to include our political leaders, the way God desires, we're going to see three ways that David gave honor this morning. Okay? Our subject this morning is the honor of a king, and we can actually look at this in two different ways, because not only is Saul being honored by David, but David, the future king, is giving honor. And we're going to see this in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. Let me just ask you, and you don't have to answer this question, but just ponder these questions in your mind for a minute. After all that David has been through with King Saul, just kind of reflect on that a minute. How many times King Saul has pursued David to kill him? After all that David has been through with King Saul, do you think Saul deserved honor? Think about it. Do you think David wanted to honor Saul? Do you think David was sincere in his honor of Saul? Now, these are interesting questions because depending upon your point of view, we could go either way on these questions. The truth of the matter is, only God deserves honor. He's the only one who truly deserves honor. But because He puts people in our lives, because He appoints the leaders and kings in our lives, by honoring these people and their authority, we are actually honoring God. And therefore, in honor of God, David honored Saul. I can't answer the questions that I asked here a minute ago definitively, but what I can tell you is that David was sincere in his honor of God and therefore honored Saul. I've heard it said that even if we don't like a particular politician, we should honor the office, not necessarily the man. Well, I have to tell you, David honored the man. He honored the man, not just the office, and he did it in honor of God. How did he honor Saul? How did he honor Saul? Well, let's get to our points this morning. First of all, this morning, David did it by exhibiting respect. David did it by exhibiting respect, and that'll become clear as we make our way through this passage a little bit further here. I was once down in Las Vegas, and I've been down there more than once, but you know what I mean. One time when I was down there, I can't remember if I was driving or walking or what, but I watched as several limousines pulled up to a sidewalk in front of a large building. They were unmarked, big black limousines. And as they stopped, some men in suits jumped out, went to the back door of one of the limousines, opened it up, and another man in a suit got out. Then they encircled this man, about 8 or 10 guys in suits encircled this one guy, and they went before him, they opened doors for him, and guided him into the building. Now, I have absolutely no idea who that guy was. No idea. But after seeing that, I wanted to know. And because all of those guys exhibited respect for him, it became very clear to me that they honored him. Now, truth be known, they may have been paid to do it, but they exhibited that respect, okay? It was an exhibition of respect, and that is one way that we can pay honor to a person. And that is what David did toward King Saul. And here's what led to David exhibiting his respect for Saul. First of all, David learned that Saul was dead. He learned of Saul's death. While we already read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 31, that's where it's recorded. This right here, what we're reading in 2 Samuel, is the first that David learns of this and his men. It's the first that he learns the news that Saul and his sons are dead. We also learn here from what I read that this young man came to David, who was at Ziklag. He came there from the battlefield. He bows down before David and tells him that the battle was not in favor of Israel. And for the first time again, David and his men learn that Saul and Jonathan are dead. And then we read this in verses 5 through 10. It says, "So Saul said to the young man, who told him, 'How do you know that Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead?' Then the young man who told him said, 'As I happened by chance to be on Mount Gilboa, there was Saul leaning on a spear, and indeed the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. Now when he looked behind him, He saw me, and he called to me, and I answered, Here I am. And he said to me, Who are you? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said to me again, Please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, but my life still remains in me. And then verse 10, this Amalekite, he says this, So I stood over him and killed him because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them back here to my Lord. Now, if you were with us 2 weeks ago, you will notice that this Amalekite story appears to be different than what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 31. There we read that Saul took his own life. And here we are told that this Amalekite finished Saul off. But here is probably what is taking place. And the reason I say this is not only 1 Samuel 31, but 1 Chronicles. Both record that Saul took his own life. So here is probably what is taking place. This young man probably really was at Mount Gilboa. He probably really did witness the battle. He probably really did find Saul and Jonathan, but I believe that it was sometime after the battle. I believe that Saul was already dead because he had taken his own life, and I believe that this man was trying to win the favor of David. And that is why he told David he had performed this mercy killing. That is why he took Saul's crown and royal bracelet. That is why he decided to go find David, who was the next in line for the throne. And that is why he is now giving David the crown and bracelet. Okay? David, I believe that this young man fabricated this story to win favor with David. But this is how David learned of Saul and Jonathan's death. And then we read verses 11 and 12. Therefore David took hold of his own clothes and tore them, and so did all the men who were with him, and they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord, for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. As David learned of Saul's death, secondly, David mourned Saul's death. They were sincerely distraught that these Israelite lives had been lost in battle, and this was a great exhibition of respect. David, along with his men, had for Saul and Jonathan and all those who died in battle. I'm reminded that while there were many who were in disagreement with some of the things that John F. Kennedy stood for while he was president, upon his assassination, the nation, both Democrats and Republicans, both liberals and conservatives, were in great mourning. It was an exhibition of respect and a wonderful way to pay honor to him. David learned of Saul's death. He mourned Saul's death. And then David vindicated Saul's death. Look at verses 13 through 16. Then David said to the young man who told him, Where are you from? And he answered, I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite. So David said to him, How was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Then David called one of his young men and said, Go near and execute him. And he struck him so that he died. So David said to him, Your blood is on your head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, I have killed the Lord's anointed. Whether this young man fabricated this story or not, David had no way of knowing. All David knew was by this man's own mouth, he said that he took the king's life. And the penalty for that is death. Being the son of an alien from the Amalekites tells us that he'd been probably peacefully living among the Israelites and therefore could have had full knowledge of who Saul's successor was and whether he made up this story or perhaps gave previously untold details. The penalty is the same. He claimed to kill Saul, and that is all David knows. And justice was served. Vindication, seeking and serving justice, is a way that David, who is now king, really, exhibited his respect for Saul. And exhibiting respect is one way that we can honor others. We don't have to wait till a person dies to do it. David always exhibited his respect, and so should we. If one were to watch us, would they be able to clearly see that we honor the Lord, that we honor His wisdom, that we honor His word? Would one be able to clearly see that we honor our parents, our spouse, one another, our masters, even our leaders? That was convicting to me, especially when you think of it in light of political leaders. If one were to watch us, would they be able to clearly see that we honor them? Because if they can see us honoring them, we have a means to tell them why, because we're honoring our Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit." And he ends saying why? Serving the Lord. We're serving the Lord when we do that. By honoring others, we are honoring God. David exhibited respect. Another way to honor people is by enshrining tribute. Enshrining tribute. To enshrine something really means to cherish it or deposit it even for safekeeping. On one website that I found said that one of the best ways to honor a person is to write them a tribute. That's enshrining it. That's recording it for future reference. To record in writing the honor that we have for them. Something that we can look to in the future to be reminded of how we feel about them right now. I went through a phase in my life where I wrote poems for Janine. She's laughing because they were funny. From an artistic standpoint, you will never see one of them published. There is a reason that it was a phase in my life and not a practice. But nonetheless, my intent was to honor Janine, to write a tribute that she could hold on to in the future, in case she ever forgets that I love her. My son Andrew, he wrote a song for his wife. The love that we have for the Lord is enshrined in hymns and songs that we sing to Him every Sunday morning throughout the week. Enshrining tribute is a way to give honor. Well, David enshrined his tribute to Saul and Jonathan. Look at verses 17 and 18. It says, "Then David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. And he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Indeed, it is written in the book of Jasher." Now, the book of Jasher was probably a historical book that Israel had with them for quite some time. In fact, it existed all the way back in the day of Joshua as they entered the promised land. And it probably, again, was a historical book of songs, a book that was started way back when and added to as events occurred in Israel. It was not an inspired book of God, never claimed to be of God, but would have been a great historical account. And sadly, we don't have the book of Jasher today. Maybe someday some archaeologist someday will dig it up and we'll be able to see it. But while the book of Jasher was not inspired of God, not preserved by God, the Song of the Bow was. The Song of the Bow is. And therefore, God also included it in the scriptures right here so that we could learn how David enshrined his tribute to Saul and Jonathan. I'm not going to read the whole song, nor am I going to sing the parts I will read. But I want to point out two observations that are important about this tribute, this honor that David paid Saul and Jonathan. Number one, David neglected the negative. He neglected the negative. As we read through this song, there is nothing about Saul's disobedience to God. We read nothing about his pride. We read nothing about his jealousy or his rage. David mentions nothing about the many times that Saul pursued him and tried to kill him. He mentions nothing about even Saul taking his own life. I'm assuming that this song was probably written quite some time later, at least some time later than the actual receiving of the news. Okay? But says nothing. And in fact, in the song, David commanded that the news of Saul not be proclaimed among the enemies, lest they speak badly of him. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. He says, "Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph." Even curse the place that Saul and Jonathan died in verse 21. "O mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for the shield of the mighty is cast away there." David neglected the negative in this tribute because he wanted to honor his king. He wanted to honor Jonathan. Instead, David praised the positive. He begins and ends the song calling Saul and Jonathan mighty and lamenting to the fact that they had fallen. He proclaims his praise for them in verses 23 and 24. He says, "Saul and Jonathan were beloved and present in their lives. In their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel." And David ends with a special tribute addressing Jonathan, whom he calls his brother, expressing a brotherly love for him that David considered even closer than that of a marriage. Verse 26, he says, "I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of a woman." Now, I personally can't even imagine loving another person, even as a friend, more than I love my wife. But we have to remember that David has not experienced a good marriage. He has not experienced a good marriage, and perhaps that is why he communicates what he does here. But David purposely neglected the negative. He praised the positive as he enshrined this tribute in this Song of the Bow. enshrining tribute is a great way to honor a person, and we don't have to wait till they're dead to do it. One last way we find in our passage to honor is by expressing gratitude. Expressing gratitude. It's kind of a lost art today. Warren Wiersbe, in one of his commentaries, talks about a seminary student from Michigan. And he was out on the beach one day, and he noticed that, and I remember if it was a storm, how it all took place. He didn't give the details, but a ship ran aground and was threatening to capsize. And this guy on the beach, seminary student, just happened to be there, started wading out into Lake Michigan. And I'm told, for those of you maybe that can confirm this, Lake Michigan can be very shallow for a long way. Anyway, he had to walk a long ways out there, and he actually ended up helping some of these passengers to shore, one after another. In fact, he ended up getting deathly sick as a result of waiting out there and rescuing people. And while this feat that he had done had been remembered for a long time, was even recalled at his own funeral, one thing that was said at his funeral was, not a single person that he helped that day ever thanked him. Not a single person that he helped ever thanked him. Expressing gratitude is a way that we can honor someone. And in our passage, David is going to express his gratitude not so much to King Saul here, but rather to some men because of something that they had done for King Saul. They had honored Saul, and David expressed his gratitude toward them for that. To get the whole picture, we actually need to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 31. And I just want to read you three verses. 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verses 11 through 13. Now, if you remember right, after the Israelites lost the battle and the Philistines came in and they found Saul and his sons and they mocked them. They cut their heads off. They took their armor off, offered it to their false gods, hung their bodies on the wall of a city. And then in verse 11, it says this. Now, when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead, these would have been Israelites, heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. And they came to Jabesh and burned them there. And then they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Now, Lord willing, we're going to catch the first part of chapter 2 in 2 Samuel next week. But let me just read you three verses from 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Keep in mind, these valiant men went and retrieved Saul and his sons, gave them a proper burial. And it says this in verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 2. So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "You are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord to Saul and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now, therefore, let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." Now, again, Lord willing, next week we'll look at the first verses of chapter 2. But David is, and we're going to find that David is anointed king there. But for right now, I want to point out how David expressed his gratitude. First of all, David praised these men with words of thanks. This was not only honoring of Saul and his sons, but it was honoring of these valiant men who risked their lives to retrieve the bodies of their king and sons and his sons. They honored Saul even after death by showing him kindness. So David honored them by sending words of thanks. Another way David expressed his gratitude is David promised acts of kindness. Ephesians 4:32 tells us, be kind to one another. David asked that God would be kind to these valiant men, but also he himself as the king of Judah, as the future king of all Israel, expressed his gratitude to these men. He did it by promising that he would show them kindness. And then David prayed for their valiant strength. One of the best ways, and I think this is a great way to kind of lead into our closing this morning, especially concerning honoring those in political office, even if we don't agree with them. One of the best ways to honor a person is to pray for them. To pray God's blessing upon them, to pray God's wisdom for them, and really to do it so that maybe they even hear it or hear about it. Paul does this several times through the scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians 1:2, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." There are few things that make me feel more honored than to hear that someone has prayed for me. Or even to hear them actually pray for me. To think that someone thought of me, thought of you, someone lifted up your name to the God of heaven. Someone came before the very throne of God to intercede for you. What an honoring thing. To think that someone asked God to fill your needs, to give you strength, to give you peace, to bless you, to thank God for you. What an expression of gratitude. What an incredible honor. And we can honor people by praying for them. David exhibited respect. He enshrined a tribute. He expressed gratitude. And these are three ways that David gave honor. These are three ways that God desires that we honor others as well. I kind of went back and forth trying to decide if I wanted to bring this up or not, but I think it's very fitting, especially in light of the Friday morning Supreme Court ruling. We have leaders today. We have a president today that are anything but honorable, let alone godly. They live, many of them, as if there is no God. And as a result, I don't like much of what they do. I don't like much of what they stand for and what they say. I don't like the direction they are leading our country, and personally, I would vote against them. I have heard people, I have even heard people who claim to be Christians, who hold many of these same views, say that they wish someone would just assassinate them. I have heard them say that. But that is not what God would have us do. I would imagine that prior to Saul's death, David would have said, "I don't like much of what Saul did. I don't like much of what Saul stands for. I don't like the direction that Saul is bringing Israel. Yet David dared not allow anyone to lay a hand against Saul. In fact, he protected Saul on numerous occasions. David honored Saul. And while I'm fairly sure that I will never write a tribute for Barack Obama, however, God can change him, okay? God can change people. God would want me to protect his life if it was in danger. God wants me to pray for him. God wants me to be kind. God wants me to respect him. God wants me to honor him. And that does not mean we honor every decision he makes. David didn't do that either. He honored the honorable things. He honored the man that God appointed. Perhaps there are some, even others, beyond political leaders, some in our life that we find it hard to honor. The truth is, only God deserves honor. But because he puts those people in our lives, because he appoints leaders and kings, by honoring these people, we are honoring God. Therefore, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, this has been a tough passage. We thank you for the example of King David. Lord, understanding he was not perfect. But Lord, he does give us a wonderful example of what honor is and why we should honor those around us. Father, I pray that you would soften our hearts. There are a lot of people around us. There are a lot of people in leadership, Lord, that by nature, Lord, we don't want to honor, but because you have placed them in our lives, by honoring them, we honor you, and that should be first and foremost on our heart. Lord, again, thank you for this lesson that you've given us in kind of a roundabout way in our passage this morning, but I pray, Lord, that you would change us, you'd transform us. Allow the love of Jesus to emanate from us so that no matter who looks at us, no matter who watches us, that they could see that we do what we do because we love you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.